Welcome to the Samuel Leeds podcast. My name is Marie-Hélène Ferguson. I'm an employment lawyer and I'm also the CEO of the Cultural Intelligence Group. And I've had the great privilege of working with Samuel over the last few weeks, and I could not resist asking him questions about what Samuel is like as an employer. I hope you enjoy. So Samuel, we all know about your terrific success as a property investor, as an amazing trainer, setting up an incredibly successful company. And I'd like to ask you a few questions about that as employer to employer, what you actually do. But before I do that, before we explore you as an employer, what was your first job?
My first job, as in how I first made money or my first time
your
I had to
Your first work. Ever job. So I'd like to see your perspective as an employee.
My first ever job was a paper round.
Right.
But my first time I went to a workplace was cleaning snooker tables at Riley's in Warsaw.
And how did they treat you as an employee?
It was odd, actually. I didn't feel valued. I was completely, I'd just go in and no one would really acknowledge me even. Right. I'm not moaning about it, but, and then when I resigned, I thought that they were going to be like, oh, because, you know, that's, oh, sorry to see you go, or try and persuade me, but they just went, okay.
Right.
So I was almost just invisible, really. I'd have a little bit of banter with the staff, but the actual person I reported to, yeah, I was just invisible, really.
And has that shaped, do you think, the way that you treat your staff?
I think so, yeah. I mean, the thing I care more than anything about is just, I love to acknowledge people. Part of my core values is just acknowledgement. I don't know if it's because of my time at Riley's. I mean, it's not like I was really wounded by that. But yeah, I think it's really important that people feel valued and that people feel appreciated. So I do, and sometimes people might even feel uncomfortable because I maybe overly do it because I'm just so bubbling up with love and appreciation for the guys. Sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, you're so awesome. I really appreciate you coming. And sometimes people might even be like, whoa, what the heck? But that is a real core value of mine is recognition, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're a very passionate guy and I see that all the time and you do acknowledge people all the time. And the reason I often ask that question of people is that your very first job, you're very young, right, when you have your first job. You're very impressionable at that time. You're also very resilient. So you might not have cried in your soup about it, but you would have felt it. You'd have felt that lack of acknowledgement. And it's really funny how you had that very first job, lack of acknowledgement, and now you acknowledge people really, really well.
Yeah,
so it's kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah.
What are your priorities when it comes to, and you look at your staff, I'm going to talk about what goes on in the office in a moment, but what are your priorities when you look at you've got dozens of people now working for you. When you look at them, if I had to say to you, what was your top priority for them?
Yeah.
What would you say?
My top priority is that people are doing a job or a role that they really enjoy. If I sense that someone's not happy doing what they're doing, it really bothers me. I just cannot. And part of what I teach in my training business is to become financially free, to be able to, you know, not have to do a job. But I feel like I want my team and my staff to be there, not because they have to be there and because they want to be there. That for me is the most important thing. That's number one, 100%. And just because, I mean, I work, I come to the office, I work, but I'm doing it from a position of abundance because I want to, it's a mission, I enjoy it, and I want everybody to feel that, and I think that they mostly do.
Well, that's extraordinary because that's exactly how I see, that's my priority too. I'm also an employer and I'm also an employment lawyer, so looking at people in the workplace, what you really want to see is them enjoying their job because they want to get out of bed in the morning and actually enjoy the experience and look forward to their day ahead.
Yeah.
So I think that's an amazing, I'm so glad that we share that same priority. What is it like then to work at Samuel Leeds? I've got a few questions for you. We're going to run through them. The first thing I'd love to ask you, I know the answer, but for all the lovely people out there, where are your offices?
So we are in central London, in like Marylebone.
The vibe in the offices is just incredible. It's lovely. You feel you're at the centre of something really, really important. So I know that you do your courses, you travel around the country, and not everything is all about being in central London, but they are awesome offices.
Yeah, and I love being in London. I love the buzz of it, and the offices are great here.
So you moved, didn't you?
Yeah.
Area?
I lived in Lichfield.
You live in Lichfield?
Our actual offices were in Wolverhampton at Hilton Hall.
Right,
which was just in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
It was a mansion, and the staff probably liked the beautiful entrance up to the office and stuff, but it was just not popping. It wasn't buzzing. if you wanted to have appointments with people, everything was far away, and I just didn't feel that fit with our culture.
Yeah.
So that was one of the reasons why we moved to London, just because we wanted to be around people. We wanted to be able to make an impact. And London is, some people call it the capital of the world, really. It's one of the most amazing cities on the planet, and we wanted to be where it's all happening.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly a buzz and an energy. And you've kind of read my mind, because my next question is, what for you is the company culture? Because you're saying that didn't fit your culture before, where you were before, and now it does fit your company culture better. So what is the company culture?
I think it's just inspiring people, being empowered, being inspired, being free, and making an impact. I think that's the culture. But you can't impact people when no one's around,
yeah.
Apart from the squirrels and the rabbits. So being in London, where there's millions of people that live here, it's just easier to impact more people. So
it's,
I think that's
reach.
The culture. I think that's the culture. And also fun, energy, passion, purpose, mission. These are all words that, and I could explain how and why, not just words banded around, but integral parts of our company culture.
Yeah. And how do you balance that, being free on the one hand and being an employee on the other?
Yeah.
Because ultimately, as an employee, you're not completely free. You're there, you're working for an employer.
Yeah.
How do you balance those two things up?
Yeah, okay. I mean, of course, technically, people in the company are employees. I mean, I'm an employee, I guess, because I'm on a payroll to the company. I don't see myself as an employee, even though I am. I know I'm an owner as well, but I don't actually see the staff as employees. For me, when I think the word employee, it's almost like a slave to a job. you know. So of course, technically, people here, of course, we're all employees to the company. So when it comes to the freedom side of things, I guess of course there's restrictions and there's rules and things with life. And to have complete freedom, you need rules, you need guidelines. The fact that we can drive and we can get from A to B, so which is complete freedom in a car. But if there's no rules, you wouldn't be able to do that, because it would be chaos.
It'd be a car crash.
So I think in our company, yes, we're free and people have freedom and people do what... hopefully we encourage people to do what they love and we give people freedom and flexibility. But of course, there are rules, like, for instance, punctuality. We're really red hot on being on time. So you could say, well, that's not free. But it is. Because it actually is freedom, because where there's no rules, there is no freedom. There's just chaos and disorder.
And I've seen that it's kind of empowering what you do, because what you're saying is we're just all one big team, and it does feel very much like a sort of family culture insofar. And I'm not meaning family between you and your brother working together. I'm meaning that everybody does get together. I'm going to ask you in a minute how the day starts at Samuel Lee's, because for me, that was novel. I've come from very, very large companies where they're not able to do what you do, and I very much hope you carry on doing what you do. But what I do see is that you are empowering people to do their jobs to the best of their abilities, and that really is empowering whilst thinking about the team. So I think the reason you want everybody to be on time is that you want everybody to be doing, to be helping each other out at the same time, and not to let the teammates down by coming in late, right?
Yeah.
Is that the whole motivation behind that?
Yeah, well, I think, and also how you do anything is how you do everything.
Yeah.
And if you're late for the office, then you're going to be late for appointments, and then you're just stealing people's time.
Yeah.
So it's just
not teamwork.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. So I've tantalizingly kind of mentioned what you do first thing in the morning. So can you tell us, what do you do first thing in the morning with the whole team?
9 a.m. on the dot. The whole team from all the departments come together and we'll do a dance of some kind, or like this, maybe a stretch. We'll put some music on, and it varies each day. But we'll get the energy flowing. We'll move our bodies around, and then we'll get around in a circle, and it varies a little bit, but the essence is the same. We might have a ball and we'll throw it. Someone will say something about what's been awesome about this week, or what they're most excited about, or what they're working on, an achievement, a success, and they'll say it, and then everyone will cheer and clap, and then they'll throw the ball to someone else, and then that person will then take a turn, and we'll do that just for 5 minutes, and then we let it go. So we'll do all put our hands in the middle of the circle, and we'll do a whoa, whoa, and then it's just, and then we'll have an applause, everyone will clap, and then bang, and then we start the day. So it varies a little bit, and the whole thing might only take 5 or 7 minutes. But I just think energy is so important, and if you are sluggish in your body and sluggish in your mind, that 7 minutes each morning probably is the difference for some people between a really high energy productive day and not. So how you start the day, how you start something is really important.
I completely agree. And I was an old cynic. I'll be completely honest with you, Samuel. When I came, the first time I came into the office, and I'm thinking, oh no, I've been warned about this 9 o'clock thing. What am I going to do? Where am I going to stand? Where can I hide?
Yeah.
There's a big circle of people and I'm standing at the back, and all of a sudden, and you've got some really cool music on and people are clapping and they're doing these little dance.
Yeah.
And it was like, so I thought, okay, let's just do it. And it was amazing, the energy that was that raised. And you think people getting into work, people have like an hour and a half journey, hour journey, you're battling through the crowds of people. So when you arrive at work, you can arrive pretty stressed
yeah.
when you're traveling into London.
Yeah.
But those 7 minutes just completely blast that all away.
Yeah.
And people are just so happy, hugging it out. At first I thought it was, you know, a bit sort of hippie-ish. And then now, completely, just day one, realize what fun it was and how it did really energize people.
I'm glad to
hear
that.
I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
Thanks.
Absolutely brilliant. Do you operate an open door policy at work? Like, do staff have access to the Samuel Leeds himself?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
And has that happened by accident, or did you decide, no, I want my door open, I want people to be able to come and talk to me about anything at any time?
I mean, I would never want to lock myself in a room for my staff and my team. They're my teammates.
Yeah.
I'm there to serve them and work with them. Of course, there's you know, there's respect amongst everybody. So, and I'll go into their room and ask them questions and check in, and 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
And I love how you know everybody. You know the names of the latest recruits. You might not have been involved in the recruitment, but you got, for example, we have latest recruits in the finance team, and you know their names, and
you're just,
so you do, and yeah. I hope that always carries on, because I know you're growing, you're going to continue to grow,
yeah.
and the fact that you just know everybody's name is just so impressive, and how you take time to say hello to every single person you come across,
yeah,
is really impressive.
I think so, and ultimately, if I'm a jerk, you know, then that's not going to make them feel good about wanting to do a great job.
No.
And we're all on the exact same team.
Yeah.
They are my teammates.
Yeah.
And of, you know, and I'm there to serve them.
Yeah.
And train and mentor and support. So and in fact sometimes I have to train them to feel more comfortable with approaching me. Some especially new people might, and of course there's some things that they don't ask me everything. If someone comes and says to me, you know, what's the password for this, and oh, what do I say to this? Not everybody reports to me, but for me to be approachable and people to feel that they can come and speak with me and ask my advice on things, I do think it's really important.
It is important, but you do go out of your way to talk to people, which I think is really nice, to make them feel like
yeah.
they can approach you.
You know,
you do break the ice with people, which I think is really lovely. What's it like working with your brother? Because he's the CEO of the company, right?
Yep.
So what's it like working with your brother?
I love working with Russell. I think he's an amazing CEO. He's cool, calm, collected. He never gets stressed out, and he just makes everything happen. So he is incredible. He's humble. And he lets me be the front man. I often take a lot of the glory and no one even knows anything about what he does. And if ever we disagree on something, we have this policy, which is the person that wins the argument decides. So if I'm saying, hey, we should do this, and he's saying, no, that's a bad idea, we should do this, we'll argue about it. And it's just the person who puts forward the best argument, then we'll just do that, because there's no room for egos, there's no room for personal preferences in a growing business. It's just a case of what is best for the business, and
yeah.
that's every decision. Also a case of whose department it is. So I'm not going to stick my nose in and start talking about which computers we should have, because that's just not my bag.
Yeah.
But in the same way, when it comes to other things, like when it comes to marketing and media and videos, he wouldn't come in. So I feel
yeah.
like we've argued for sure, but in a debate type way. We've never
yeah.
fallen out ever. We've
yeah.
never he's never been really annoyed with me, or we've got in a mood or a fallout. It's just the couple of years that we've been working together has been blissful. It's been fun. We're best friends, and he's taken the training business and even the property business too. Made it massively more successful, and so have other people as well, like Sarah and other people in the team. But Russell is just incredible, so I'm very blessed and happy that I managed to persuade him to come into the business a couple of years ago.
Well, it's a remarkable relationship, if you don't mind my saying, watching the two of you. You do have discussions, but very healthy discussions. They're not
yeah.
disagreements, they're not arguments, they're discussions. and you respect each other so much. That's the first thing I noticed when I was watching you. Because, you know, we've been having discussions about all sorts of things in terms of your growth and getting you to the next stages. And you really do listen to each other, and you're both really receptive to ideas, to fresh ideas. And it isn't about winning the argument. It isn't about being right. No. It's about doing what's best for the business. And that really shows when you're talking to your brother, which is lovely. And that's rare, I think. Because sometimes when you're working with your family, it can just be too close. But you've got this very healthy respect for each other. And I think what you're saying there about having responsibility for different departments, that must be the key to it as well, that you don't stick your noses in each other's business, so to speak.
For sure. But also being really direct and never taking anything personal. So me and Russell, we love each other to bits, but we're very direct. And if he thinks I'm being a jerk, or if he thinks I'm wrong, he'll just tell me straight. Yeah. And I think we both do that. And also when we meet up and we talk about how the business is going, we, despite us doing extremely well in business and as having a massive, you know, expansion and success over the last couple of years, when we have our business meetings, we probably spend 90% of the time not patting ourselves on the back, saying, oh, we're doing great, aren't we? Wow. We spend 90% of the time saying how terrible we are. You know, this is wrong, this is bad, that this could be improved, this is... And after a meeting with Russell, I'm like, man, we've got so much room for improvement. And that's the way we have our meetings. So whilst we do celebrate the successes, we definitely are just constantly trying to improve the systems, trying to improve the business, the product, the services, the way we invest our money, the way we encourage others to invest their money. We're just trying to get better and better every day.
Yeah, and I've seen that with my own eyes. You definitely do. You're hard on yourselves. You are perfectionists. You want to provide the best possible service.
But if you want to be the best, if you want to be the best, which we do want to be, you have to be hard on yourself. Yeah. Sometimes people say you're too hard on yourself. But an athlete has to train hard and has to be hard on themselves. And I think in business, if you want to be the best, you have to be hard on yourself. So I don't get down about it. I don't think, oh my gosh, we're terrible, and then get down about it. I'm actually excited by it because of the room for growth.
And speaking of growth, it's huge, and your plans for next year and the year after are absolutely tremendous, and they're massive. You're having to recruit people all the time. How do you go about recruiting people?
Okay, so I go off gut feeling very much, and I know within usually about a minute whether I want to hire somebody or not. Now, I'm not saying I'm the best recruiter in the world. I'm not saying, oh, the way I do it is the way to do it at all. It probably isn't. But for me, usually what happens is I'll just be able to, I don't really go through CVs. I'm not really interested in qualifications. I'm more interested in the attitude of the person, the energy of the person, than anything else.
You remind me of a young Richard Branson, because he's very much like that too. He's very much, he will hire people on the basis of their positivity. Yeah. He just wants to work with positive people. It's all about positivity. And I think if you look at the Branson brand and all of the people that have worked with him, and he's a very positive person, and you're a very positive person. And you surround yourself with positive people, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, and if someone's really skilled, but they are, like, another thing I do as well is I'll ask people, you know, oh, so, you know, what happened with your last job? If they say anything negative about their last job, or their last employer, oh, well, it didn't work out because my last employer was quite controlling. Or, oh, well, I just think, even if that's completely true, and even if you're being gracious in how much you downplayed it, just the very fact that you're even being negative, for me, that's a real red flag. Yeah. Much more than, and I've employed people that have had degrees in stuff, and they've just been terrible at it.
Yeah.
So their qualifications, obviously I won't talk, you know, too much detail, but honestly, I just think you can train anyone to do anything pretty much within reason. Of course, if you're taking on like a full-time accountant, they'll need to be qualified. But if you're taking on someone who's going to be in customer service or media, some of the guys, some of the videographers, they're kind of pretty much self-taught. And I'm not poo-pooing the qualifications and stuff at all, but to me, that's definitely secondary. A gut feeling. And what often happens as well is I'm not involved in a lot of the interviews, but if they're going to be working closely with me, I will be. But what will normally happen is that some of the team, maybe Sarah, will do the interviews. They might interview 10 people, and then when she's found someone that she thinks, okay, I think this person's the one, then I'll interview the person, but I'll interview them 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like my PA that I just got, Valerie, I don't know how many people Sarah had to interview, but she said, Samuel, I found Valerie. I think you're going to really like her. She's got this. She's got all these qualifications. She's got all this experience. I met her, and within 60 seconds, I was just like, yes. So it's, and it's just gut feeling and intuition,
I think. It's a vibe, isn't it? Speaking of selecting staff, then you recruited staff. Have you got career paths for your staff within the organisation?
Yeah, massive. I think people need that. I think people need to be able to have a purpose and personal goals. And I'll ask, you know, and I don't want to be talking like I'm an imperfect employer, because I'm really not. And maybe it'd be good to talk about some of the things I struggle with as well. Maybe, I don't know, but I do always take the time to ask the team, especially if I'm working with them, if they're like in media or something, and which is kind of my department. What are your personal goals? Where do you want to be in 3 years' time? And really get to know what they actually want to do. And then I'll try and help figure out a plan of how they can get there. Maybe they want to be a manager, or maybe they don't want to be a manager. Maybe they want to be like a specialist and just get paid really well doing something really niche. So I think figuring out what they want and never assuming, because sometimes it might be easy to think, oh, this person wants to be promoted, but actually they don't. Actually, they just want more money. Or this person wants more money, but actually they don't. Actually, what they want is they just want recognition.
Yeah.
So figuring out what people want. Some people love to come out to the events with us and be on the road. And for them, that's like, oh, it's amazing. It's a treat. And other people really don't want to be. They don't like coming to the events. They just want to be in the office. And I want people to do what they enjoy doing. I don't want, I want to find out what they actually want, where they want to go, and then make that happen.
Absolutely. And I think that's absolutely right, because sometimes people apply for a job and they didn't think it is, or they thought it was something different to what actually it turns out to be. So do you have mechanisms by which you can, so two questions here, A, promote people internally, and B, can people move around from department to department if they feel they're not quite in the right space?
Absolutely. Yes to both questions. And I think some of our people have been in one role, and then after a few months, they're not loving it, you know, or they just think, you know what, this isn't really what I thought it would be, and we've moved them into a completely different role. We've had people who have been in admin, and they're really finding it boring, and then they've moved over to customer service, or they've moved over to being a training advisor, or whatever it might be. And I think that is one of the massive perks about a company, because normally, if you don't like your job, you have to then go and find another job in another company. But for us, you don't like your job. Okay, well, what job do you want to do?
Yeah.
And then they can just apply for another job within the company, do something completely different.
Yeah.
So that's actually something that I encourage that.
Yeah.
Because if someone's not happy, I mean, we just did it. And it wasn't that they weren't even happy, but there's Amelia, who was a videographer, and I went around the room of all the videographers, we've got six, and I said to each videographer, what do you enjoy most about your job? Like, what are you most excited about? And everyone said, you know, oh, I like making little trailers. And then someone else would say, I like going out on the road and doing documentaries. Someone else would say, I like putting all the text and the music and all that over it. And then it got to Amelia, and she didn't actually have much to say about videography. She was just like, I kind of like working with influencers and helping find cool things and thinking up ideas for the YouTube channel. And she didn't. And I was thinking, that's not really videography. That's not. Now she's talent manager. There was no talent manager. We made up the title for her. She created her own job because she was like, good, decent videographer, you know, good. I'm not knocking her videography skills. Some of the guys are like absolute expert videographers. They love it. They are obsessed with it. And they want to be, whereas with her, it was like, yeah, man, I enjoy video and I'm kind of a bit self-taught. But now she's talent manager. She created the job role with myself. So she's now going out, working with influencers, finding celebrities, bringing people onto the YouTube channel, working with our success students and our guests, putting dinners on. It's just a totally different role.
And she loves it.
She loves it.
And it suits her skill set.
Yeah. But I love that. And if someone's, I'm very open to suggestions. If someone's like, you know what, hey, I think that this would be a good thing. Like we are very open for that kind of stuff. And I used to think like, I used to look at McDonald's and I used to see McDonald's and think the way they operate, they have very average people in McDonald's. You know, 16-year-old kids giving burgers with extraordinary systems.
Yeah.
And I used to think, right, as a businessman, I want to create these extraordinary systems, and then I'm just going to get normal people to come and run the systems. That's the way to run a business. I've totally changed my mind on that. I don't know. I can't speak on behalf of McDonald's. I mean, geez, Now I'm thinking, number one, who do I think I am, able to make such extraordinary systems? What we really need is we need extraordinary people to come into the company and then help us put together those extraordinary systems. And probably if you look at McDonald's at the top, we see the people giving the burgers out, but I'm sure they've got extraordinary people at the top. And now we're a growing company. So now we're just looking for talent. We're looking for extraordinary people, people that can potentially even create a new job role, create a new manual, create a new... And I just think that's exciting.
You're recruiting right now, right?
Yeah.
You're recruiting.
We're always recruiting.
Yeah, absolutely. How else, other than sort of paying people a salary, how do you reward success in the company for individual employees?
So we have lots of different ways we reward people. So we reward people, I guess financially, is probably the most common way. So we give people bonuses. We have a team bonus. So if the team hits their monthly target, and even if that's a case of, you know, for instance, in the media team, if they put all the videos up every day at the right time and they put the right amount of content out, then there's a monthly bonus. Then there's also weekly bonuses.
What's that to incentivize?
I think it's just because it just creates a sense of almost positive peer pressure. So if someone messes up, the others are like, oh, come on. Mm. So that's, and it might have some negative connotations. There's no perfect system, there's no perfect business. So we have things like that. And then also, I guess, just promotions, recognition.
And the recognition, do you have something like Employee of the Month and
things
like that?
Yes, we do. We have Employee of the Month. Every month, someone wins the Employee of the Month, and people go crazy, you know, for the Employee of the Month. We do have that. I think recognition is really, really important.
Really important. So without naming names, because that person might be very, very shy, can you remember which department won the Employee of the Month?
Yes. Last Employee of the Month was someone in our finance team.
And the month before?
I think the month before was customer service.
And the month before that, can you remember?
Training advisor.
Well done, you. You really are on top of everything, aren't you? Yeah, I happen to know that. I happen to know that. I got the answer.
Was I correct?
Yeah, you are. Yeah,
was I correct?
Absolutely correct.
The finance team are amazing. Really, really good.
Yeah. Do you mentor staff personally?
Yes, I do.
And how do you do that?
Many different ways. So I train them in groups. So I'll sit with the training advisors, I'll sit with the sales team, I'll sit with the media team, and spend maybe a half day just training them. That's what I am. I'm a trainer. We have a property company and a training company, so massively into that. We also send them off on lots of training courses, and we have in-house training video courses and stuff, which they do every single day. Every single day, they're being trained.
Yeah.
I also personally, as well as doing training as groups, I also do things like I give people feedback. So if someone's done something great, I'll tell them why it was great and how it could have been better. Sit with people one-on-one, take people out for ad hoc coffees and stuff, and just say, hey, how's it going? And see where they're struggling with. And we're a training company. Yeah. And if we want the company to grow, our people have to grow. And a quote that Richard Branson says, which I absolutely love, is train your staff so well that they can leave, but treat them so well that they don't want to.
Absolutely.
And I think that is, for me, I love that.
Yeah.
And I think that will be the case. Every member of staff, or at least I think so, most, will get to a point, if they're not there already. Some of them are there already.
Yeah.
Some of them are there already. They'll get to the point where they're so good, they're going to be poached by so many people. Like, I mean, Gary Vaynerchuk, his videographer, he's called D-Rock. He's almost famous for just being an awesome videographer. He works full-time for Gary Vaynerchuk. He must get every day people saying to him, can you work for me? Can you work for me? Can you work for me? I bet people offer him more money than Gary pays him. Like, he must get that so often. But I don't think he'd ever leave Gary, because Gary trained him. He's loyal to Gary. He loves working with Gary. And I think even with our company, you know, it's already is happening, and it will happen more. People will be coming to our guys, you know, can you come and work for us? In fact, it's happened a lot, actually. But it doesn't usually work out if it does, because people leave and then they realise, oh, man, I got paid an extra few thousand pounds, but this is pretty rubbish compared. But I want people to have that freedom and have that choice. And if they leave, great. But treat them so well they don't want to. But I love training them, and I love seeing personal growth. One of the things that excites me more than anything is seeing people get better. Seeing people get better, seeing their people skills get better, their confidence get better. So many people come work for the company, and within a month they're like, I'm a different person. I'm so much more confident. Mm-hmm. I love life more. I'm happier. My skills are better. And we spend hundreds of thousands of pounds on training our staff, yeah, on top of hours and hours of time every week.
Yeah, I can testify to that. People have actually said that to me, that working for you has changed their lives, yeah, and that they feel so much more energized, that they feel that they've learned so much in such a short period of time.
Yeah.
But that's all very well when things are going right, when things are going well, when everything's hunky-dory. What do you do to support staff when things go wrong? So either professionally or when things go wrong for them personally.
So I guess it depends on what it is. You know, if someone's going through a rough time, I do think we're a compassionate company. We have grace on people. If someone's, you know, had a personal issue or not well or whatever, generally the heart of the company is not, well, what can we legally get away with? You know, we are compassionate. I mean, we had one guy in the company who was diagnosed with cancer. And this was now going back a couple of years. And, I mean, I personally just said to him, dude, because he's going for treatment, take as much time off as you need, and we'll just keep paying you the same. And he had all his treatment, and he actually got he got the all clear. I think it was like maybe 6 or 9 months he had off, and then he came back.
Fantastic.
And I just said to him, I don't want you to worry about money during this time. Now, I'm not saying that every time someone's sick we'll do that, because you can't do that. And a lot of people, unfortunately, will take advantage. But I knew this guy. He was a good guy. I knew his issue. I knew his circumstances. And I think that even if at times we do have to, you can't always. But I think my heart is just to look after people.
Yeah.
So and then professionally, how do we? I guess if someone's not performing professionally, the first thing is to just offer them support. See how they can improve. See if we maybe can move them to a different department. If someone's got a good attitude, even if professionally their skills are like they're not cutting it, but their heart is in the right place and their attitude is good, I don't think we've ever let anyone go for their professional skills.
No,
if they've been clumsy or they're forgetful, and it's like, man, you just cannot be in this role, but their heart's in the right place, then we'll just move them to a different role which suits them more. It might. It's not always, everything is messy at times.
But that's what I was going to say, because what I'm getting at is, say something's happened. Let's say you're running an event, you're running a training, and something's happened and it's affected the team because somebody hasn't quite done the right thing. Yeah. Or as a team, things didn't go smoothly. And you're not upset about it as such, but something's gone wrong.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of people, you don't know who it is, you don't know what happened, but you know something's gone wrong. How would you approach that situation? Would you flip out and go mad, or what would you do? You found out that something went wrong, and I don't know, let's say people weren't booked on the course when they should have been. I'm not saying that has happened, but as a theory.
What would I do? I'd want to fix the system and ultimately take responsibility as a leader and say, well, maybe we didn't as a company train them well enough. You know, ultimately, even if someone's really bad and it's their fault, then you shouldn't have hired them in the first place.
Yeah.
So ultimately, I'd like to think that I take responsibility for everything that goes wrong and just try and fix it. But yeah, if there's a problem, you just got to find out. There will be problems. There is problems, always.
Yeah.
And I think that, no, I wouldn't flip out. I just try and fix fix what happened. If it was complete foolish of the person and they were very irresponsible and they were at fault, then you might have to, you know, give them a warning or something. But yeah,
it's very rare that somebody's going to do something bad on purpose.
Yeah,
right. So very often people have done something because they forgot, or
lack of
they were clumsy, or lack of experience, or something. Would you consider yourself a generous company?
I think so. I mean, we do pay our guys pretty well. You know, everyone's paid well. I'm personally, a lot of employers are like, oh my gosh, they're trying to lift the minimum wage, and I'm thinking, yeah, and they should. I mean, I want people to get paid well. I think, I don't know what the lowest what the lowest our guys are paid, but I think we're generous. I'm not just talking about, oh yeah, we pay everyone a big fat paycheck. We pay everybody well. Everyone's paid well. Everyone's paid above. We like to look at our competitors and stuff and pay more.
Yeah.
But not just generous in terms of finances, but also generous in terms of opportunity, also generous in terms of training and time. Mm-hmm. Like I've spent £10,000 and I've got a guy doing some training with some of the team. Only six people. I've paid £10,000 over this weekend for six people to get some training. Mm-hmm. And that, for us, that as a company, that's just, well, it's just nothing. Mm-hmm. So sometimes people come and they say, oh, you know, I'm in finance. And then they want to go and get further qualified. And I'm always in favour of mm-hmm. our company just paying for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because so investing in people, I think we are generous. I mean, we're not stupid, but...
No, I think I would agree. I think what I've seen is you're very generous company. You are all there for people's growth,
yeah.
And which I think is great. And then talking of generosity, are you having a Christmas party this year?
Yes. I don't know when, but it is being organised.
And you're not allowed to talk about it, are you? It's top secret.
Top secret.
Surprise.
Surprise.
Well, I hope you have a wonderful time.
Thanks so much.
Happy Christmas in advance.
Happy Christmas to you too.
Take care.